Kelly Nealon and Mark Fuller both are with me to listen to an hour of classics with an emphasis on mixed group harmonies.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Classic sounds and gospel music today. We've got a wonderful collection of primarily some mixed groups we're going to listen to. Mark Fuller and I used to do a show in Atlanta, Georgia on these classic sounds, and he's with me now along with, she's legendary in the mixed group world with her dad and even going back to the Lefevers. It's Kelly Nealon Clark. It's good to have you guys with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be here as well.
And Mark has played for Eva May, well, since I've known him, and into her final years there, but a consummate, I would say probably a student, learning from her, but also having a passion for this mixed group sound, and primarily with the Lefevers, and then later the Nealons, right, Mark?
That's right, yes. I grew up, born in 61, so I was a child about the time the Gospel Singing Caravan was on television, and I watched the Caravan show and then the Lefevre Family show and became a big fan of Eva May's piano styling. And then by the time I started seeing them in person, which was 71, quickly after that, evolved into the Rex Nealon Singers around 1977, and I just fell in love with everything they did as well. Became good friends with Kelly and the family, and then Eva May, and the rest is history.
Mark is part of our family. I mean, he might as well just resign himself because he was just like part of the family. Anywhere we were around, Mark was there, and I think he taped every program we ever had, and he's been to birthday parties, and I mean, he's just part of our family.
Well, if there's any time I need a history lesson or need to know anything about personnel or any changes, I always go to Mark because he's got this in his mind. He's pretty sharp with the stuff.
Absolutely is. He knows everything. I mean, in every key. He could tell you what key we sang it in.
Well, I never could quite keep up with bass players there for a while.
Well, Mark, when we were in Atlanta doing that classic show together, we had a song by the Happy Goodman family that was our theme song. Tell me everything you know about this particular cut.
Well, it's a great convention song, straight out of the Redback Hymnal. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when I mention the Redback Hymnal, and it's just a great convention tune, Leave Your Sorrows and Come Along. And the Happy Goodman family was very, very popular for that type of song. So what a great message and a great song to start the program with.
Pilgrims for Jesus, we are happy and free.
The Happy Goodman family. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with my special guest co-host for this classic show, Mark Fuller and Kelly Nealon.
And I love those kind of songs too. Yeah, I, you know, my daddy, he just loved the convention style songs. And in fact, we did the one where the Goodman sang with us, Hallelujah. This song is kind of like that. And boy, Vestal, she could spit those words out too.
Did you ever get a chance to work with the Goodmans that much? Or did the Nealons ever work dates with those guys?
We got to work with them some. You know, when I used to travel in the summertime with the Lefebvres, so I got to work with them a little there. And then, of course, we worked with them when Vestal wasn't there. Well, she was, I guess, a little while Tanya was there. But Tanya and I became really good friends because we traveled together. And so, and then Vestal and Howard and they joined us on that song on the Gaither videos, Hallelujah. So, yeah, we have a long-time friendship.
Kelly, I remember when you made the pictures for the live album, which the Rich Newland Singers at that time it was called, the pictures y'all made in Huntsville, Alabama that night. I was there at night, and they were there as well. Do you remember that? Probably don't.
I wish I could, Mark. You make me feel bad. I remember pictures, but I don't remember who was there.
Yeah, it was, I think those were the pictures that were used. It was in Huntsville, Alabama, and y'all had the long yellow dresses on with the fur around the face.
Yes, those dresses are notorious.
I think Wendy Bagwell and Songwriters had the same set, but maybe they were a different color.
Could have. We all shopped at Macy's and Rich's, so there you go.
Yeah.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, a classic sound edition today with friends Mark Fuller and Kelly Nealon. And these guys are fun to just listen to talk to because they have such a history. Well, Kelly, you started back with the Lefebvres, some right before they changed names. And Mark, you were, of course, following all the Lefebvres all the way through the migration to the Nealons.
Yes, that's right.
I remember when Kelly first started doing appearances with the Lefebvres. There's a song that she sang with the Lefebvres back in around 1974, but I can't remember the name of that song, but I know the first song that she did was Today is Going to Be a Brighter Day, as far as I can remember being recorded.
That's it. That's the very first song I did. But Mark and I have tried to remember that song I sang, and neither one of us can remember. There's one other song that I used to sing, and I can't remember what it is. And if Mark can't remember, nobody will. But those were fun days. I'm telling you, I was so excited. I do remember when I was 13, I got a call. My mama got a call, actually. And one of the girls had, one of the Teresa's sister, Sharon, had decided to get married, and they needed me to come and fill in. Oh, my goodness, if you could have seen me, if they had social cam then, if you could have seen me, I was jumping up and down, so excited, couldn't wait. We're in Lexington, Kentucky at a camp meeting, and I could not wait to get there. I was so excited.
Mark, I know you've got some Lefebvres songs picked out for this show, and why don't we go ahead and hear one now? What's at the top of your list?
Well, I have one here that's way back in around 1969 that features Jimmy Jones. And it's just called I'm Longing for Home.
It has such a classic intro to it. I know exactly what song it is when I hear it. This is one of those, and I'm not old enough to really go back into the Jimmy Jones days at all, but oh, I've studied this and I love this song.
Oh, yeah. This is a great song.
I'm only a pilgrim and a stranger in the sun-friendly world I roam, serving him who has called me from darkness and promised a heavenly home. Of his wonderful love I am telling wherever on earth I may be. I'm striving day to be faithful to the Savior who suffered for me.
I'm longing for home.
rest can be found. Rest can be found.
I'm just about through.
I'm just about through
with this old house of clay. Someday this old tent will be folded and the beautiful scenes will unfold.
I'm longing for home, for the sun's going down, sun's going down. I want to go where sweet rest can be found, rest can be found.
I'm just
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, Classic Sounds today. Really a lot of the great mix groups from previous generations, but hey, it's all good. And I think that's what is so cool about going back. And the more time goes on, I guess this is kind of a dumb statement, but the more time goes on, the more we can add to the library of our classics. And I think the more the merrier. And when you hear the Lefevers, there was just not a group quite like them, and not one since, really. And a lot of groups have pulled some of these old songs and put their own touch to them, but this was a Lefevre original, right, Mark?
That's right. It was Stepping on the Clouds. It was recorded first in 1974 on the album titled Stepping on the Clouds, featuring Ron Hutchins and Teresa McNeil Burrell.
And what a wonderful song. I mean, this song, it had the greatest intro. And I think for that time, it was, you know, it had the orchestra on it, and it just stood out. I mean, it just, that song just, it was just pure class, a great song, great music, all the way around.
Now, Kelly, you might remember this. Were you ever in the studio when they recorded stuff like this? Did they bring in the orchestra in?
No, this was before my time. So I wasn't in the studio, but I don't really know how they did it, but I think you could be right. They could have brought the orchestra in at the same time.
I had heard one time that Maurice would get some of the Atlanta Symphony to come in and record some of these songs, but I do note this album was nominated for a Grammy Award.
Right. It sure was, and it was worthy of it, too.
One of these days,
one of these days
I'm going to leave.
One of these days,
one of these days I'm going home.
Stepping on the clouds and you'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds and he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me.
I'm going higher,
higher, higher. Stepping on the clouds,
going past the moon,
past the, moon.
The stars, the planets.
Stars and the planets. Rise to meet him in the
stepping on the clouds, and he will greet us. All the joy together we will share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher. And you'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds and he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me. Going where the devil cannot find me.
And we're going higher.
Fevers, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends on this Classics Edition with Kelly Nealon Clark and Mark Fuller as my guest co-hosts. Kelly, I was going to ask about your dad. Was he singing the entire time that you remember? I mean, or was there a time where he was doing something else?
Oh, he was always singing. I think he joined the Lefevers, I believe, in 1958. And before that, he had been with the Homeland Harmony, and then he came to Atlanta. So I was born. I'm not going to tell when I was born. That's terrible, Daniel. I was born in 59 in December. But for my entire life, he was singing. He was on the road. And you know what? I did not resent it. I missed him, you know, and I would get teary-eyed when he would leave. But I so loved the music, too. You know, he put that right into my heart, too. And so I'm so thankful that he was a singer and he loved this music and it gave me the opportunity. And now I give the opportunity to my children.
Kelly, don't you think the ways of traveling back then was a lot different than the way groups travel today? Like, you know, you wasn't able to go with them. Everybody stayed at home pretty much.
Oh, yeah. You know, my heart really went out to Eva Mae because she was, she had to go on the road and she had to leave her children at home. And that had to be a heartbreak for her because nowadays we are all able to bring our children with us, you know, most of the time. And so it was a lot different, a lot harder in a lot of ways. But because of what they went through, they made it a lot easier for us. And so for that, I'm very thankful.
One thing I remember about the Nealons, Rex Nealon singers, and even Lefevers, it had to be your mom, Kelly Shirley. She was always there to do the dry cleaning, run around, and she did all the behind-the-scenes work, and you know, what a great supporter. There is no bigger fan of the Nealons than Shirley Nealon.
Oh, that, absolutely. And she did it all. And if we broke down in the middle of the night, she'd be the one to come and get us. And so she was right. She worked in the office. You know, she talked to all the people. She was not a before the camera kind of person. As a matter of fact, she would stay away from the camera. But she, when it came to the office and talking to people on the phone, she'd spend hours, you know, talking and getting out the orders and, you know, getting the dates and all the stuff that you have to do with the dates, you know, sending pictures and promo and stuff. She was a big supporter.
And she wasn't one to have, you know, she liked for you to recognize her in the audience. She liked standing up, did she?
No. She would sit in the back so we wouldn't recognize her. She was so shy when it came to something like that. She did not want it at all. We did the live video, A Promised Reunion, and I told her when we did We've Got to Get America Back to Dad. I said, I want all of our families to come up. Oh, it was so hard. And she wouldn't come. At the last minute of the song, you see her go all the way across the stage with her head down. And she finally came up there. And when I watch it now, it's hysterical to me.
I remember when you recorded the album, it took forever for them to come out, it seemed like. I mean, it took forever for them to come out. And they'd always come out about quartet convention time. And at that time, the quartet convention was held in Nashville, Tennessee. And a lot of times the group would already be up there. And many times I would come up and ride at the quartet convention with Shirley. And the trunk would be full of albums that just came in.
Yeah, those were such fun days.
Well, let's fast forward to the Neelands of today. And Kelly, it's you and Jason and Amber traveling. And sometimes the bus has air conditioning, sometimes it doesn't. But you got to admit, it's a whole lot better than like what Eva May and your dad started out in the big limousines, right?
Oh, absolutely. At least we can open up the windows and get some air. But, you know, I've heard Daddy talk about, you know, them riding in the car and they'd all switch, you know, somebody's shotgun, you know, and then they'd have a switch where whoever was driving would move to the right, you know, so, and they'd stay there all night. They would ride the cars all night to the next place. So, you know what? I don't wish that I ever had to do that. I don't want to do that.
And think about it. There probably, a lot of them were two-lane roads back that time. It probably wasn't many interstates.
Yeah, and they just, but they loved it. They loved what they did so much that they would sacrifice, you know, rest and sleep. And you know what? When they got up to sing that night, you never knew that they were tired. And that's one thing that I learned from Eva May and from Daddy. You know, you just put your best foot forward and you sing as if it were your last opportunity to sing for the Lord.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, Classic Sounds, and a lot of the mixed groups are here. We're spinning some tunes. Hey, Mark, we've got to play something by the Spear family.
Yes, what a name in Southern gospel music. This is back in the 60s. It's called Old Fashioned Meeting.
Oh, how well I remember in the old-fashioned days when when some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned ways. In the old-fashioned meetings, as they tarried there, in the old-fashioned manner,
that's a classic sound from the Spear family. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Mark Fuller is with me. In fact, Mark is a great pianist and studied the sounds of Eva May, and that's such a unique style that most people don't play anymore. And we've got Kelly Nealon with us as well, obviously from the Nealons days, the Rex Nealon Singers that came up after the Lefevers name change. Is just a part of the history that I love to still think about how that worked and what it must have been like to have been there. But when you hear the sounds like the Spear family, obviously you've got to appreciate their sound and their contribution to gospel music. Kelly, tell me about your interactions with the Spears.
Oh, I love the Spears. I mean, I loved Brock and Faye. We traveled a lot together, and of course I love Ben and Mary Tom and Rosanelle. I love them. I mean, they're like family to me. And Brock and Faye, when we would travel, we would sit out, you know, usually we're at a hotel, and we'd be sitting out at the pool, and we'd just talk all day, and my daddy loved Brock. He just loved him and loved to tease Brock. And they would go to the quartet convention meetings, and Brock would tell whoever was in charge, you know, of the meeting that day, "Don't sit me by Rex." but they were just wonderful people. You know what I appreciate is that they sang it right. They knew the music, and, you know, they didn't have bad harmony. They sang correctly, and they sang the right music, and they had great songs.
And, Mark, we've got another one by the Spear family. Let's go ahead and play this one, too.
This is a Dad Spear tune written by Dad Spear, where they recorded live back in the early 70s, and it features Sue Chenault Dodge and Jenny Johnson's on there as well. So enjoy this good camp meeting song, "I'm Gonna Take a Ride."
When Jesus my Redeemer comes in glory on the resurrection morning fair, I'm gonna take a ride,
take a ride,
oh,
take a ride on fire,
and all the happy saints of bygone ages will be riding with me there. I'm gonna take a ride,
I'll take a ride,
oh,
take a ride up on a beautiful cloud. I'm gonna take a ride,
take a ride,
oh,
take a ride up on a shining cloud.
When I go away,
blown away by this cloud,
I'll join the happy song,
singing like a singing cloud.
I'm gonna take a ride,
I'll take a ride,
oh,
take a ride up on a beautiful cloud.
You're listening to Daniel Britton Friends with Mark Fuller and Kelly Nealon as we're playing these classic mixed group sounds from gospel music. Hey, in Atlanta, you guys obviously had some history there, a lot of history with the Lefevres, the Nealons. We've talked a lot about that. Tell me about the studio, Lefevre Sound. And also, Kelly, wasn't there a studio? Is it Twin Oaks? Is that right?
Who knows?
It's from
Gone with the Wind.
Well, it could be. You know, see, Nashville, Tennessee, is where most people think of recording, right? But Atlanta, back in the heyday of the Lefevres and the Nealons, Atlanta had some pretty good, solid studios for groups to record in.
Well, in my first recording, the first time I only sang a part, but with Teresa and Ron Hutchins. I believe it was Teresa, but I'm not sure. I got to sing the part on Why Me, Lord. And it was my very first time to go into the studio, and I was so excited. And that was at Lefevre Sound, and I thought they had tremendous sound. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it was a very great studio. I never went into the studio until after it left Lefevre Sound, but... And went into, I think, Access Recording Studios or whatever. But when I went in there, I had the huge grand piano, and I sat down at it, and it was just thrilled because I thought, oh, this is great. Even they played all these songs on these albums. And, of course, the Goss Brothers started their work there at Lefevre Sound. And
yeah, that's the first time I ever worked with Larry Goss was at Lefevre Sound. And it was Ronnie and Larry and James. And, man, were they... fantastic. I mean, they were so good. The studio there, it was very comfortable, had a great sound, a great piano, and just a really great room to work in.
I remember the ceilings when I went in there, the ceilings were very high.
Yeah, right. Very high. I remember that. And the other, and I know this is kind of crazy, but the one thing that I thought was the coolest thing, they had a spiral staircase there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Were any album cover photo shoots shot there with the spiral staircase at the studio?
I don't think so. I don't think there was ever any, I'm not sure about that, but I don't think there were any shots done there. I know we did some studio shots and some album cover shots at Mount Perrin Church of God out in the garden area, but not at Lefevre Sound that I know of.
Well, I know Lefevre's made an album cover 1964, Lord, It's Me Again album cover was made in front of the studio, and it's because the studio had just been built in 1964.
Well, Mark, I had no idea about that. Of course, I was only four.
My contribution to this discussion right now is that I did not grow up in Atlanta, but I grew up in Georgia, and I grew up in the central part of the state. And when I was in high school, for whatever reason, our school library had a copy of the Atlanta phone book, which was like several volumes because Atlanta is such a huge city. So I remember thinking, this is very weird that you would have to have two or three books just to hold the entire city directory. But when I got my hands on it, I went to two different places. I went to the L's and I went to the N's. I said, I want to see if the Nealons or the Lefevres are listed. And I found a few. I can't remember right offhand who was listed and who wasn't, but I thought that was the coolest thing when I did see a few names I recognized.
Aww.
Well, Kelly, I know that I don't believe Rex and Shirley ever had their phone number unlisted. And as far as I know that Eva Mae in Your Eyes didn't. She sort of bragged about that, you know, that she was always accessible. And I don't remember y'all having an unlisted telephone number, do you?
Oh, no. We were never unlisted. I mean, Daddy talked to everybody. I mean, the phone rang constantly. I even remember the phone number, 435-8223. That was our phone number.
And I remember 434-8181.
Yep, that was the next one. That's hilarious. But for a while, during the Lefevre days, we lived in Atlanta, and all of the Lefevres lived on one street. Pierce, I don't know about Maurice, but Pierce and Eva Mae, and we lived right down the street from them on Calhoun Street in Atlanta. And that's very, very early memories for me because we lived when I was four, but I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, I had the early 60s, and that's right off of 14th Street there in Atlanta.
Mark, I think you drove me past one of the homes that where I guess Kelly grew up in. Was it like a brick home?
You're right. That's in Smyrna. We all, the Lefebvres and Daddy, we all moved to Smyrna. Even Wendy Bagwell moved to Smyrna. And so we were all within, you know, a mile of each other. I love those days.
I remember whenever the group went from the Lefebvres to the Rex Singers, how Rex and Shirley lived off of Cumberland Drive there in Smyrna, and the bus parked right next to the house. So.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, he had the hook up there. We would go home and park the bus, and, you know, if I wanted to sleep all day, I could because I'm at home. But it would get awfully hot because he would turn the bus off.
Hey, did you ever have any problems with the neighbors and the bus or any weird questions that they just didn't understand what you guys did for a living?
We never had any problem. I mean, that I know of, nobody ever said a word. Of course, there was nobody on the right side. We only had neighbors on the left side and then across the street. But they never complained. But most of them really, they understood what we did. And they loved it. Matter of fact, when I was in going into kindergarten, the little boy across the street who was in kindergarten with me, he would sing. What was the theme song, Mark, for the Lefebvres?
Sing.
Every morning he would come into the we'd carpool. He'd get in the car and go, ding, 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 ding. And it used to just, like, drive me crazy, but now I'm thinking, I should have just been proud.
Well, I remember right outside the house, there is a huge hill going up, right, to go to Atlanta Road. And I'm wondering, did y'all ever have any icy conditions trying to get up that hill and that bus?
We did have icy conditions, but if Daddy thought that, it was going to ice over, he'd get that bus up the hill before it got there because we were not going to miss a date. He was adamant about that. We have to leave 3 days before. That's what we'll do. So, I mean, we had some ice, but he watched the weather.
You mentioned this name a few minutes ago, and, you know, it's maybe a little hard to believe because, again, with the Nashville thing, everybody seems to be based out of Nashville. It is Music City. But when you talk about gospel music, Atlanta was such a hub for gospel music for so long, and you can talk about the Statesman Quartet there, of course, the Neelands Lefebvres, and then you've got the group you mentioned, Wendy Bagwell and the Sunlighters. And I know we've got a song that we're going to feature here, Mark. And so tell me about this. Tell me about, and Wendy had a furniture store there, and I know he had great fame with his stories, but the songs too were actually very well produced, very unique, and the ladies singing with him, Little Jan, it's good stuff.
You know what? I loved Wendy Bagwell, and we always bought our furniture from Wendy. And of course, he lived, you know, about a mile from us, but we loved to go over their house. And you know what he had that we didn't have? He had a pool, and the one thing that I'll never forget is that we went over, we were all going out to eat. My brother, I don't know, Todd was probably 7. We were all dressed up, ready to go out to eat. Well, there was a frog that jumped into the pool. Well, Todd just jumped right in the pool and got that frog out. Dad was so mad at him. Cindy Bagwell was who he was. I mean, he was funny on stage and off stage. I mean, that's just who he was. It wasn't a performance. He was just funny.
The song I put out today by Wendy Bagwell and the Sunlighters is a song that features little Dan Buckner Goff, and maybe it applies to us, but it's just titled, "We're Not Getting Older, Just Closer to Home."
One we take means one less breath to go. Minutes come and hours go, they slip away. the snow.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, we're featuring some classic sounds today. Sitting around the table, Mark Fuller is here. Mark played for Eva Mae Lefevre for so many years and took care of Eva Mae and drove her around, made sure that she made it to the dates. So you probably learned a little lesson from Rex Nealon on how to get there early and on time and stuff like that to keep Eva Mae in line, right, Mark?
Oh, yes. Always try to get there way in plenty of time to get Eva Mae settled and get the table up and have some time to in case we have car problems or anything like that, just to make sure we got there on time. And I'd have to tell Eva Mae maybe 30 minutes earlier than the time I really wanted to leave, but she pretty much knew what we had to do too. So she'd been doing a lot longer than I ever have, but that's how it worked.
Kelly, with your experiences with Eva Mae, and a little bird has told me that your mom used to call you Little Eva because I guess you looked up to her so much, huh?
Well, I learned well. You know what? Eva Mae loved fancy clothes, and she loved, the sparkles. And that's where I got it from. I mean, honestly, everything on me could sparkle. I mean, my clothes, my house, I love sparkles. And I got that from Eva Mae because she loved sparkles, and she had I would go to her house when they lived in Atlanta off of Riverside Drive, and she would show me her closet. And, of course, she had dresses in every size, so if she lost weight or gained weight, she'd have beautiful clothes. And so I would look at, and she had them all in nice plastic bags, and I just sat there just in awe, and I thought, that's what I want to be. I want to have all these princesses, all these beautiful sparkles.
I remember being around Eva Mae and how people come up and talk to her, especially at the quartet convention, and say, you know, we love to come hear you sing too years ago, but we always also wanted to come to see what you were going to wear. So She was pretty well known for her dress.
Absolutely. She just had beautiful clothes. And we can give credit to Brenda Lefevre, Pierce's wife, because a lot of times Brenda would make her clothes, and she always altered whatever she needed done. And Brenda was fantastic.
Brenda was more like a daughter than a daughter-in-law to Eva Mae. I mean, she was just there for Eva Mae, even all the way up to the end. And Eva Mae got sick that last year. It was Brenda that stayed with her at the hospital many nights. And at the, Eva Mae finally wound up in a nursing home because she couldn't take care of herself. And none of the family could take care of her because of what she was going through. And Brenda would stay night after night when times needed to be. So Brenda, I don't know. I can't say enough good things about Brenda Lefevre.
You're exactly right. She's an angel. I mean, just one of the sweetest women in the whole world.
And Brenda, I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, Brenda Lefevre was Pierce Lefevre's wife. And Pierce got killed in a plane crash back in 1985. And I used to think, I think he was about 48 or 49, and now that I'm hitting 51, I think that was pretty young.
It's very young.
I know. Oh, my Lord. What a tragic accident that was.
Yeah, it was. It was unbelievable.
I think most people realize, because we've said it a little bit already, but the Lefevre trio became the Lefevres, and then Lefevres went into changing the name to the Rex Neyland Singers. And this was all after Urias died. My understanding, you guys correct me, Urias passed away. Of course, Rex was already singing with the Lefevres, and Eva Mae continued for a little while. Then when Eva Mae stepped out of the group, that's when the name changed to Rex Neyland Singers, eventually just simplifying it to the Neylands, which is the group we know today. And Mark, you've got some early Neylands songs for us to play on this classic show, right?
I picked one, Pitcher's Kelly, that I just had on my mind all day, and it's just called I'll Just Lay It Down and Leave It.
Kelly, you've recorded so many songs. Do they ever sometimes run together where you hear something you've recorded and it becomes difficult for you to remember the time and place where you actually recorded that?
We've recorded a lot of songs, but pretty much I can almost always remember, where it was. Well, not actually the actual studio, because we recorded in so many different studios, but I do remember recording all of the different songs. Just like Oh for a Thousand, I remember that, and I remember singing it to the audience for the first time in North Carolina, and the response was overwhelming. I mean, it was just, it comes down to, really, Daddy could always pick a good song, whether it was a real Southern gospel song, a country, more country kind of song, or even a song that lended itself to be a little bit inspirational. Ooh, and he even picked that one. Mm. So it really all comes down to the song. And I can remember pretty much everything, where we recorded, when we recorded, and what was happening then.
Hey, Lay It Down and Leave It. What do you remember most about this?
You know what I remember is that... it was a hard song for me to sing, because I was so new. It was early on, in our career, and it was right in. I know this is gonna sound crazy to y'all, but it was right in that mid range, and it was hard for me to sing, but it was such a good song. It was written by Dee Gaskin, and I really wanted to sing it, so I did. But I remember it being a little bit tough with the how the melody went vocally.
I called on the Lord at an altar. fell away like the darkness at dawn, and he told me just what I must do.
Great time. Classic sounds and gospel music always just bring up some great memories and cause my imagination to run. Hey, what were the groups like? What was their traveling arrangements like back then? How did the audience react when they heard this for the first time? But to sit with like Mark Fuller and Kelly Nealon, who actually lived on the front rows or on the stage even or on the bus even of these days, it's just really a treat. So thanks, guys, for sharing these memories of some of these great groups, working with them, and Kelly, in your case, actually being a part of one of the most legendary sounds in gospel music. It's been fun. And you guys are still singing, still traveling. And give me your website. And I know you're on social cam and Twitter and Facebook, but I know websites where we can launch from all of that, right?
That's right. And I've enjoyed being here, too. But our website is www.thenealons.com. That's not the Melons or the Nellons. It's thenealons.com.
Yeah. Or the Nelsons, right? How often do you get the Nelsons?
We've got Nealons, Nylons, Neons, Melons. I mean, you name it.
So it's NELONS.com, thenealons.com. And by the way, you can also find out more about this brand new project that is out. I'm hearing nothing but great stuff about it.
Well, thank you. It's one of our favorites. And you know what? If Daddy were still here, he would love this project because it's a simple, scaled down kind of project and just our vocals and just a little bit of music, and he would love it.
Well, you know, when I first heard it, Billy, I love it. And the song Come On Home, I heard a little clip of it on YouTube, and I just fell in love with it the first time I heard it. I mean, so that sounds like the Nealons.
Well, it's a great song written by Bill and Gloria, and it's kind of you know, unique because Amber's on the lead and I'm on the soprano, so it's fun that Amber and I can switch parts and, you know, do some different things, and it's a great song.
And to me, it's got that smooth Nealon sound, and your daddy liked smoothness, didn't he?
Oh, he did, and he was the king of smooth, in my opinion.
And Mark Fuller has joined us today, and Mark's carrying on a tradition with his style of piano work. And just like Eva Mae Lefevre, I think people can close their eyes and they can hear Eva Mae in your playing. And that's, I know you take that as a high compliment because I've seen you when people tell you that. But you've got a new project out as well, and people can find out more about that at markfullermusic.com, right?
That's right. Thank you, Daniel. The new project is called By Your Request. MarkFullerMusic.com.
The service you will find no place, so keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the righteous, keep on the firing line.
Guys, thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll keep the classics alive. It's always fun to go back down and pull some of these old tunes that maybe we forgot about, but certainly shouldn't be forgotten. The message of each one is very timeless.
Thank you, Daniel. We've had a great time. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.